Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. I noticed that Brother Stan mentioned that in your Bible study time, you have been looking at the book of Hebrews, it sounds like. So this may be a passage that you looked at probably some time ago, because there's a lot in Hebrews and a book that you can definitely take slowly and find just a lot of meat in every chapter, every verse. Even you can take a verse apart and spend quite a bit of time on each one. But I trust this will be both a challenge and encouragement to you this morning as you look to move forward as a church, and I trust even in your individual lives, looking for what God has for the next steps for each of you. And that is a unique plan God has for each of our lives, but he can show us exactly what he wants. I truly believe that, and I trust we all do. Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to read several verses here, starting in verse 10. Hebrews 6, 10, we'll read down through verse 15. Hebrews 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Let's ask God for his help as we get started here. Heavenly Father, teach us now, we pray, that your Holy Spirit would illumine the words that we look at on the pages of Scripture to our hearts. Pray that it wouldn't just be words that we hear this morning, but truths from you. And that we let your Spirit transform us into what your will is for each of our lives. Help us to be open and ready. Help me to say just what would be faithful to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever forgot to acknowledge something that was done for you or maybe given to you? I think we've all done that at some time. Forgot to acknowledge something that somebody did, maybe not on purpose, but we tend to easily be forgetful. I know I am. If I don't write it down, I will probably forget it. Neglected to thank somebody for something that they did. You promise yourself that you're going to write that thank you note, and then you forgot, slipped through the cracks. You said you're going to make that phone call to encourage or thank somebody for something they did, and you forgot to talk to that person. Things like that easily happen, forgetting to acknowledge what somebody has done for us. Again, not on purpose, but just easily forget in our minds. And we've probably all been on the receiving end of those kinds of things too. We've done something for somebody and didn't hear any kind of thank you or acknowledgement back for it. And those kind of things just can easily happen as just humans. And maybe you've invested some time, some resources, prayer perhaps, in somebody's life, really trying to help them in some way. You've given of yourself in these different ways to try to help this person. And you know, maybe they were grateful for that, and maybe they weren't. Maybe they forgot. Maybe they just really didn't see what you did for what it was, and you wish there was some more gratefulness there. And maybe you sometimes wonder, just what is God doing in my life and in what I do for him and my service for him? Well, if this message had a title today, I would call it Patience and Promises. Patience and Promises. We're going to talk about those two things today. Amen. Looking at how God works in our lives and the promises that he has given us and how those can be realized in our lives. And really specifically, the pathway that God often takes us on when it comes to us experiencing his promises. And we're going to look at just three different angles on the promises that God gives us. And the real main truth that I want us to walk away with today is that God's promises are often experienced through through seasons of patience and often following seasons of patience. Patience and promises. How do these go together? How should we properly understand these as God has revealed it in the Word of God? Well, first of all, when we talk about patience and promises, I want us to look at, first of all, if you're taking notes, it'd be number one, the path to promises. The path to promises. And this would be the how of God's promises. What is the path that God often takes us on? And again, every person's experience, story, God's will for every person is just a little bit different. As we'll see, there are many things in the Word of God that we know are His will for every single believer. And then we also have God's specific will for each person, and He is more than delighted to show that to us, and as we obey His will for every believer. But what's the how? What is the path to God's promises? We're going to get into the specifics of God's promises in a little bit here, but first of all, I just want us to notice just kind of some introductory remarks here, looking at verse 11. Hebrews 6:11, it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Many believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. It's not known for certain. There's some speculation there, but many believe it was Paul. Whoever it was, he was writing to these Hebrew believers, these Jewish believers. That's why it's called the book of Hebrews. These Jewish people who had come to realize that just Jewish religion was not enough, and they had to trust Christ alone for their salvation, and they had. But now they were running into some problems, some persecution, some hard times because they were believers, and they were tempted to go back to their old ways. And the book of Hebrews is, I'm sure you know this, if you've been in the Bible study, it's making a case for the fact that Christ is better than any religious system, better than Judaism. The Old Testament law was given to the Jews to show them how God wanted to conduct, how He wanted them to conduct themselves among the pagan nations they were going to be living around, but also to show them that they had needed to have a Savior, and they could not keep the law. Nobody ever has, nobody ever will keep the law of God, and it shows us that we need a Savior. These people realized they were experiencing hardship because they had trusted Christ. They were tempted to go back to their old ways. And the whole point of Hebrews is that Christ is better. And Hebrews 6 is really an encouragement, even in verse 11 there. "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Keep up in your diligence in following Christ. There is no other hope for salvation or for walking with Him in the Christian life. And I notice that he says there, every one of you, he's emphasizing there, he's not just talking to the general whole, though he is, but he wants not just the whole of you to get this, individually, every one of you. He wants you to make decisions in the will of God. And it reminds me of the fact that our individual choices and decisions are not unimportant in the will and work of God. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just one person, and I just make these little decisions every day, and it really doesn't affect a lot. No, God says your choices are important.
Right.
Amen. Do not quit now. He says, if you've been doing God's will and God's power, he says, keep showing that same diligence. He says, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that assurance of hope, what an encouraging set of words there. We can have assurance in the Lord and what He's doing, even if we don't fully understand it.
Amen.
Another way to say that full assurance of hope there, the writer is saying there, continue to pursue the entire confidence of expectation. And that's the idea of hope there. Not just a hope so like our world thinks of it today, but a confident expectation that we can have in the Lord and what He's doing. And the writer there is saying continue to pursue that same confidence. Believe God for more. Don't be satisfied just with where you come to and just level off and just coast along, but always believe God for, and ask God for, showing you what is the next step for me.
Amen.
That full assurance that he says there in verse 11, that really needs to be part of our every step of our walk with God, being fully assured of what God has done and is doing in our life. I love one evangelist friend that I have. I get his email updates every few months. He sends them out. And the way he signs off on his letter is fully persuaded, and then he signs his name. I love that. Fully persuaded, having that full assurance of what God is doing and what he can do.
Okay.
That full assurance has to be part of every step of our walk with God, because the terrain, as it were, of our path, our walk with God, is not always smooth. It's sometimes got rocky areas. It's got curves and hills and things that we can't see around, or they're not going to be always smooth sailing as Christians. And those things are going to easily trip us up unless we are fully assured of the fact that God is leading us and that he can continue to do that. We're talking about the path to promises. So what does that look like specifically? How do we bring it down practically to life? Verse 12, he says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says there, do not be slothful in walking on this path to experiencing God's promises. It's interesting, if you look just back in Hebrews chapter 5, probably on the same page there for most of you, Hebrews 5:11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing are dull of hearing. And in that section, the writer is really trying to get the believers to wake up and not be dull in their senses, as it were, to God, but to move on and mature in their walk. It's the same word there, dull, in verse 11. It's the same word as slothful there in Hebrews 6:12. Do not grow dull. Do not grow slothful. Do not grow lazy, is what the Bible is saying there. Sluggish, lazy, that's the idea of it there. I think of the fact that any of us who have walked with the Lord for a while, been saved for a while, and he's been working in our lives and we've been serving him, it's very easy, and I know I'm not necessarily an old person, I'm 34 right now, still on the young side, but it is easy to become just dull, sluggish, lazy, spiritually speaking, of course, in our walk, and just kind of let life pass us by. I mentioned this last week, just kind of slip into a do-right kind of Christianity, which is good, we ought to do right, but if we're just kind of coasting along, doing what we always did because we know it's the right thing to do, and not maturing and growing in our walk with God, and we're looking to experience more of his promises, that's becoming spiritually dull. And he's saying there, keep with that diligence, that full assurance of hope to the end. Don't become dull in your spiritual walk. So what is the opposite of spiritual laziness, spiritual dullness, however you want to say it? He says there, be followers, verse 12, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The opposite of spiritual laziness in many ways is to put yourself around and be a follower of those who are pursuing God's promises. Follow somebody who is pursuing God's promises. Let God use other Christians to help mature you.
Amen.
That's the path to God's promises. Now let's just take a little aside here. Just look at God's promises for a minute. And we hear a lot about the promises of God. We see them in the Bible. What's the best way for us to understand this and really know what we're after here? Of course, we find God's promises throughout the Bible. Old, New Testament,
right.
You'll find them. I like to think of it as looking for the words will and shall when God is talking. And going to find a promise of God when you find those words. Some of those promises are fulfilled every day as we walk with God and as we serve him. Other of those promises are yet to be fulfilled. You think of reading prophetic books like Revelation. You have a lot of things that God says will happen in the future. They're not going to happen yet, but God is unfolding his plan and those things will come to pass. Some of God's promises are given to all people of all time. No matter who the person is, what era they lived, God's promises are true for them. Some of those promises are given specifically to the nation of Israel. You see a lot of those in the Old Testament. God said specific things for his chosen people, Israel. Other of those promises are given to the New Testament church. And some people tend to get those mixed up, and you can tend to get some funny ideas if you do that. It's important to remember that there's some promises to Israel and some to the church.
Okay.
Some of God's promises are unconditional. There's no human conditions attached to them. God is going to fulfill and bring those promises to pass regardless of human decisions. You think a lot of those things, again, about things in eternity future. Those things are going to happen. Now, there's going to be humans involved, but they're going to happen. God promised they're going to come to pass.
Amen.
Other promises you find in the Bible are conditional. Often you see a if-then type of writing in the sentence, in the promise there. God says to his people, if you do this, I'll do this. If you will seek after me, you will find me. If you obey me here, I will bless you here. Again, you see it often in the Old Testament, but it's definitely in the New Testament as well. Conditional promises. And I often try to take note of those in my life. If God says a promise is going to come to pass, if I make a decision over here in this area, he's going to fulfill this promise over here, I better take note of that, because my obedience may bring about or hinder God's promises from being realized in my life and possibly even in the life of somebody else. Conditional promises. Look for those if-thens and ask God to show you what's the choice that I need to make so I can realize this promise that you're working on me here and showing me. So we look through these verses here in Hebrews 6, and Hebrews is, you know, geared toward Jewish people that would be very familiar with the Old Testament and God's plan there. So as we talk about the promises here in these verses, there is, you know, really an Old Testament promise in view here. Of course, God promised the land of Israel, an actual piece of property, to his people. And we're going to be talking about Abraham and the promise of his seed going to be as many as the sand on the seashore. And so we have that in view here today, but I want us to take these truths, overarching truths that we look at today, and apply them to our own lives, to the promises that God wants us to claim. There's so many promises in the Bible that we could look at, but I'm just going to read a few of those here for you, and I would encourage you to look these up, look others up again, those wills and shalls in the Bible. How about this one, John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Wonderful promise having to do with prayer. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Wherefore, come out from among them, the ungodly, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Promise of blessing when we separate ourselves unto him and from the uncleanness and sin of the world. Philippians 4:19. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Written, by the way, to people who had sacrificed much for the Lord and probably wondered how they were going to make it. And they're reminded that God's going to supply their needs. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen.
Just a sampling of God's promises and what we can claim as believers. So we're talking about the path to promises. Now, what is a specific path? How can we experience God's promises in our lives specifically? Well, back here in Hebrews chapter 6, it has two words there at the end of verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. And we're going to really zero in on these the rest of our time today. The path to seeing God's promises is through faith and patience.
Amen.
Now, what is faith? We often have kind of a working definition in our mind, and there's a little different ways to describe it and illustrate it that different people have come up with. Let me give you this definition of faith, especially as it is played out in these verses here. I believe, this is faith, I believe and have absolute confidence that God has spoken and will fulfill his word, even though I don't see or understand. A little bit lengthy definition over there, but that really encapsulates it. I believe and have confidence in God. God has spoken, and I believe he's going to fulfill his word, even though I don't see all the details, I don't understand everything that's going on.
That's right. Amen.
That's the way to obtain God's promises, faith. Without faith, just a few chapters later, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him.
Right.
Has to be a walk of faith. Dependence on the Lord is really how we boil faith down. Dependence on him to do what I can't do. He also says faith and then patience. Another word in the Bible for that is long-suffering. How do we define patience? I am willing to wait on God to fulfill his word, even though I want to see everything and want to have every answer right now. I want to see it all laid out. If you're like me, I want to see the future planned out. I want to know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, next 5 years. But God says we need to have patience.
Right.
I'm going to wait on God to fulfill his word, to show me the next step. I don't have all the answers right now, but I'm willing to wait on him to show me what
Amen.
That is. So two very important words are faith and patience. And it's very important that we believe these and live these out in harmony with each other. Now, suppose we just have faith alone. I believe that God is going to work, and I trust him for working in my life to show me the path that I'm supposed to be on. But I'm not willing to wait for the things that God may not show me yet. Well, that can easily lead us to doubt. I believe. Well, nothing's happening. Well, maybe I don't believe. Over here, we have patience. Yes, I'm going to wait on God. I know that I don't have every answer. I know that he can show me and will show me in his time what he wants for me. But I'm not really sure if he's going to do it. But I'll keep waiting, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. Patience without faith. You're back in doubt again. Faith and patience work together. I believe God's going to do something. But I'm also willing to wait when he tells me I need to.
Amen.
Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. By the way, who do you follow? Now that could be literally, you know, who do you follow? Who do you spend time with? Who influences you? Who speaks to you? What words do you let into your mind? In this day of social media, who do you literally, you know, we talk about following people on social media. Who do you follow? What do you read? What voices do you let in your head? What Christian social media do you let into your mind? Not all Christian social media is going to feed you things that are going to build you up in your Christian
right.
life. You got to be discerning. Just because it's in writing on a computer screen or on your phone doesn't mean that it's right and that it aligns with the Word of God.
Right.
You got to be very discerning. Do these people that I'm listening to or reading, do they walk by faith? Do they believe that God is worth following? Do they wait on God to bless? Or are they, you know, are they perhaps a pastor of a church that, I believe God, and we walk by faith, but it's hard to reach people in this age, and so we got to, you know, change our music, and we got to change what we do, and we got to, you know, be... Yeah, not too out of touch with the culture, and they don't wait on God to bless. They're trying to humanly do this to build it. What kind of people do you listen to? What kind of people do you follow? Do you follow people who live by faith with patience?
Amen.
So that's the path to promises. Path to promises. Now let's look briefly here. Also, number two today. Number two is the giver of the promises. The giver of promises. And that is the who. First we have the how. Now we have the giver of promises. That is the who. Verse 13 and 14. For when God, verse 13, made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So here we're talking specifically about Abraham. That man of the Old Testament, that God promised to him that his descendants would become the nation of Israel. Promised to him when he was old, and his wife was as well, far past the age of having children. And we're going to have descendants that are beyond, there's so many you can't count them? How does that work? And of course we can spend a whole series of messages on the journey of faith that God took Abraham and Sarah on to grow them and to really root out the plans of self that they tried to bring about to make it happen their own way, and really bringing them to the end of themselves, and we have no other recourse but to trust God. Exactly, that's what you should have done in the first place.
Amen.
He's the only one that could do it. Verse 13 is a quote actually from Genesis 22. And if we were to look back there, remember Genesis 22 is that chapter where after God had fulfilled his promise and given Isaac to Abraham and Sarah by a miracle in their old age, God then told Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son. What? That one son that God had given to them that was going to be start the nation of Israel eventually. Sacrifice him on the altar? You know, that test that God put Abraham through. And thankfully he passed that test. And God saw that he was willing to sacrifice his son and loved the Lord more than anyone else, and knew that if God had to, that he could raise Isaac back up from the dead. And Abraham passed that test, and then God said, he reiterated that promise to him again, that he was going to make of his seed a great nation. Never forget the who it is that gives us these, as 2 Peter says, these exceeding great and precious promises. These are not promises that just come from changing, not always trustworthy people. These are from Almighty God. We got to remember that. These are promises from the God of heaven.
Praise God.
We don't have to worry about whether God's going to come through on his promises or not.
That's right.
He is going to. When he says it, it is going to happen. Is that what's going to happen on my timetable and the way I think? Not always. It hasn't been true in my life. Probably hasn't been in yours either. But God says, I will come through.
Amen.
It is so interesting in verse 13. Let's read it again. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That is so interesting to me. People swear or make promises on all kinds of things, right? They'll put their hand in a stack of Bibles, or they'll say, buy this, or whatever. I'm going to do this. I'm going to promise to do this. I'm going to take this oath. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Whatever. People swear on all kinds of things. God doesn't need to swear by something when he makes his promises, as it were.
That's right.
But it's almost like he's trying to put on a humanly understood level. But God was making the promises, so there's no one greater that God could swear by. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. It's like God put his hand on his own name and says, I will do this.
Amen.
That's amazing to me.
That's right.
God said, I am the Lord. I change not. I made this promise. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Because God's very name and his very character are behind each of his promises to us. It is God's nature. It is God's character. It is God's pleasure to fulfill his promises to us. We must remember who is giving us the promises that he leads us to claim. Verse 14, he says, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. The wording seems a little bit funny there, but in the Hebrew, how the Old Testament was originally written in, it's kind of a way to make make it double. Exponentially more, an overflowing abundance. He's saying, I'm gonna bless and bless, and I'm gonna multiply. God is saying, I'm gonna pour out a whole lot more than you could ever imagine.
Amen.
That's what he's saying there, and that's exactly what he did for Abraham.
Sure.
Was there a process to realize that promise? Well, yes, there was, and a lot of self that had to be rooted out of Abraham's heart. But God did it. He promised.
Right.
People don't always keep promises. Sometimes they can't, for just something changed. I plan to, but I can't. Other times people, they break their promises. A heartbreaking thing sometimes. People's abilities and resources are limited. God's resources and ability are not limited. God can do anything. And when he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. We can bank on that. The giver of promises, God Almighty himself. So we have the how, the path to promises. We have the who, the giver of promises. And lastly here, number three, is the when, the timing of the promises, the timing of promises. Verse 15, Hebrews 6:15. And so, after he had patiently endured, it's still talking about Abraham, he obtained the promise. I noticed that word after at the beginning of verse 15. After is a term of timing, you know, before and after. We're talking about when something happened. He's saying after this patiently enduring that we'll talk about, he obtained the promise. Abraham patiently endured, did he not?
That's right.
He patiently endured a lot of time going past, we're talking years here, with no apparent fulfillment of the promise that God had given him. God says, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. It didn't happen. He tried to do it, you know, through a Hagar, and it did happen, but it was a mess. After all this time, finally, Isaac was born. And there was a lot of patient enduring that came between first mention of the promise and fulfillment of the promise. There was a whole lot of work that God needed to do on Abraham in between there.
Right.
He patiently endured and got past his time of weakness and doubt. And then he patiently endured again that test of when God told him to sacrifice Isaac. And praise the Lord, he passed that test. Lots of patient enduring, though. Remember how important it is. Faith and patience working together. And endurance goes right along with patience. Not just saying, yeah, I'm going to wait and you know, maybe something will happen. And I even believe that something's going to happen, but I'm just going to kind of be patient. Enduring, doing something during the period of waiting. And after all these times of testing, it says, end of verse 15, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. And even then, when he obtained that promise, he only saw just the tip of the iceberg, just the very beginning of what God was going to do. Abraham did not live physically on this earth to see the nation of Israel established. He just saw just the beginning of that fulfillment. The great things that God did in the generations ahead. I don't know if Abraham was able to look down from heaven and see it all. I don't know how that works. But for sure on this earth, he didn't see the full fulfillment, but he still trusted God for what he was going to do with that promise of fulfilling it. You know, it reminds me that so many times full fulfillment, full promise of that, fulfillment of that promise does not immediately follow faith. There's often a time of God maybe revealing a little bit, and that time of testing, that time of patience and endurance coming in between. And oftentimes there are lessons in that in-between time that God wants us to learn that we can't learn any other way. If we had faith and got it all right then after, and sometimes we do. Sometimes God does work that way. But there's many times that it's faith and then a time of patience. And if we just got it all right here, we wouldn't learn certain lessons if we had that in-between time. Very important.
Amen.
God really has a journey for us. He starts over here by faith. Make a decision of faith. Trust me. Believe me. Then have patience. Be willing to wait on me for it. You don't see everything right now. Be willing to be patient. Endure. Keep going. And by the way, we need God's help to keep enduring. We can't just find this
right
in the flesh. Keep enduring. Then we experience promise. But we can't always jump from faith to promise. We have to have that faith, patience, endurance, promise. That's so often how we experience it.
Right.
You've been taking that stand for God, and you just get nasty feedback from it, maybe in your workplace or among other people that you know. Patiently endure.
That's right.
You've been praying for that lost loved one or backslidden Christian that you love for years. You don't see any change. The Bible says patiently endure. God has given you evidence that he is working in a situation, but you don't understand how it's all going to turn out. Patiently endure.
Amen.
Reminds me of my wife's grandpa on her mom's side. He was saved at the age of 69, back about 15 or so years ago. And he was a heavy drinker in his unsaved life for years. And so my wife's mother got saved when her mother was 12 years old. And then her mother got saved a few years later. But then her dad did not get saved for many, many years. You heard the gospel countless times, and just, he never accepted it, never saw it as something that he needed for himself. But at the age of 69, actually not even with any family member other than his wife with him. They're actually on vacation, not even their own church. They're at a kind of an evangelistic meeting. And through that, God opened his heart and he trusted Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
And gloriously saved, he lived another 12 years. And God changed his life. He went home to be with the Lord a few years ago.
Amen.
But my wife's mother prayed for her dad for years and years to get saved. 37 years, to be exact. Wow. Do we give up praying after 37 days, weeks? I have. Yeah. I don't see it right away. I guess God's not going to do anything. But she prayed for her dad for 37 years. And he did trust Christ. Patiently endured, believing the fact, the promise, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will.
That's right.
And pray, Lord, I am praying this for my dad. She said, she never stopped believing God for his salvation and kept praying. My wife tells me often when she and her siblings were growing up, every mealtime, I believe you said, praying for Grandpa Jerry to get saved. And you know, through that faith, through that patience and endurance, I feel a precious few of us have experienced this. I know this is something I definitely need to grow in, where my wife's mother, came to the place where she believed that he was going to get saved. She knew it was going to happen. She didn't know when or how, but she knew it was going to happen. She even addressed envelopes to mail cards and letters to people telling them that her dad had gotten saved. And he wasn't even saved yet, but she had the envelopes already addressed.
Amen.
Faith, patience, promise. But a whole lot of patience, endurance, and prayer in the middle. That's what we're talking about today.
Right.
The timing of promises. And remember, faith and patience are long-suffering. Where do we see those in another part of the Bible? I think there's a chapter called Galatians 6. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Faith and patience, part of the fruit of the Spirit. This has to come from the Holy Spirit of God. We can't find faith and patience in ourselves on our own. This has to be the power of God giving us that.
Amen.
If we just try to endure on our own, we're going to give up. We're going to become weary. Got to have the kind of faith and patience that God gives.
Right.
As we close, let's just look at a couple of the passages in Hebrews that shed a little more light on this. Let's turn over a few pages to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. These are actually very much parallel verses to the ones we were looking at. I even encourage you, if you're writing your Bible, to underline those and maybe do a little cross-referencing between the two, between Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. The Bible says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Same idea right there. And notice the word there, middle of verse 36, "after ye have done the will of God." We can't expect to fully realize the promises of God real in our life until we have first done the will of God. And we touched on this at the beginning. All these things written in the Bible that we know clearly are God's will for us as believers. Find those, stand on them, obey them, live by them. Then ask God to then show you his specifics.
Amen.
For your life. But after you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. It comes from doing his will. And then page over there, maybe on the same page, Hebrews 11, 13. There's a lot in this verse, but I'll read it slowly and just try to take it in as we read it. Hebrews 11, 13. Talking about people who walked by faith. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So much in that verse. Talking about these people who walked with God and then they died. Walking in faith right to the very end. What a testimony. But God gave each of these people promises. It talks about them in the earlier part of the chapter, and there's certainly many more. They walked by faith, and they died, and they hadn't received everything that God had promised. Now, they got some glimpses. Noah, Abraham are a couple of them that are mentioned. They saw some glimpses of God's promises. They didn't see the full fulfillment of them. So it says that they died, they didn't receive the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them, but they didn't see them. They didn't have them in their fullness, but out there, through the eye of faith, they saw them. I see what God is doing. I see a little evidence of this. I'm getting a sampling. I'm standing on that. Even though the full fulfillment came later. But they didn't give up because, well, I don't have it, so it must not be even true. Now, they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Yes, I believe God has spoken. They embraced them. You know, you embrace somebody, you hug them.
Amen.
I'm convinced. I'm taking these promises to myself. Oh, and by the way, I'm a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. The just what I see, the physical, earthly, is not all there is. There's something more. Of course, the ultimate promise that we look forward to is eternity with Christ.
Right.
And what a wonderful thing to look forward to. But I know that there's a whole lot of things in my life and every one of our lives that God wants us to be convinced of, though we may not see it all in our life and in our time, or in the timetable that we think we should, that he wants us to stand on these promises, and he can show us that he is doing something. We might not see it all in this life, but we see him definitely moving.
Right.
Patience and promises. God has spoken. He's spoken to each of us through his word and through his spirit. And sometimes we can't see it, but he is working. He is doing things. And if we live by faith and then be willing to have the patience that he can give us, patiently enduring, we can experience his promises, and he will show himself faithful.